study today. So please.
Item 11. The worlds cascaded onto the reality of this corporeal world to a place where there are a body and a soul and a time of corruption and a time of correction for the body, which is the will to receive for oneself, extends from its root in the thought of creation through the system of the worlds of Tum'ah. As it is written, man is born a wild ass's colt. He remains under the authority of that system for the first 13 years. And this is a time of corruption. By engaging in mitzvot from 13 years of age onward, in order to bestow contentment upon his maker, he begins to purify the will to receive for himself, imprinted in him, and slowly turns it to the aim to bestow. By this, he extends a holy soul from its root in the thought of creation. He passes through the system of the worlds of Kedusha and dresses in the body. This is the time of correction. So he accumulates degrees of holiness from the thought of creation in Ein Sof, infinity, until they aid him in turning the will to receive for himself in him to be entirely in the form of reception in order to bestow contentment upon his maker. And not at all for his own benefit. By this, one acquires equivalence of form with his maker, for reception in order to bestow is regarded as pure bestowal. It is written in Masechet Kiddushin that with an important person, she gives, and he says, by this you are sanctified. Because when his reception is in order to delight the one who gives him, it is deemed absolute bestowal and giving. Thus, one buys complete dvikut, adhesion, with him. For spiritual dvikut is but equivalence of form. As our sages said, how is it possible to adhere onto him? Rather, adhere onto his qualities. By this, one becomes worthy of receiving all the delight, pleasure, and gentleness in the thought of creation.
Please repeat that.
Well, here Balasalam writes about the bride that she gives to the groom, and by receiving from her, he bestows. Afterwards, he writes that in order to adhere to the upper one, you have to adhere to his qualities. So how do we adhere to his qualities by receiving from him?
Well, here the action itself is not important, but rather the nature or the quality of the action. Maybe I receive something from someone, but by that I do him a favor that I receive from him. It depends on how much there are special relations between us, and therefore what is important is the relation. See? And therefore, when we want to give something to the Creator, in the state that we are in, where all we have is desires to receive, however, we overcome them, overcome our own nature, and think about Him and want to give Him, this is considered giving. And when we want to receive from Him, even though we do it also against our desire, that's also considered giving. And so see what our correction is, that we are in the will to receive for ourselves, and we reach the restriction, and we don't want to receive anything. However, if I don't receive anything from the Creator, even though by that I show Him that I want to be like Him and not to receive, however, by that I don't reach being the bestower, giver. And so I continue my correction from bestowing in order to bestow to receiving in order to bestow. And then I seemingly go twice against my nature. I perform two actions. I receive not because I want to, but rather by that I want to give contentment to the Creator. And therefore this reception is no longer reception, but rather it's bestowed. And therefore we have ahead of us 2 degrees in our correction. Besides the restriction, and then reaching, bestowing in order to bestow, where I do not receive anything for myself under the restriction. And later on, all of the actions that I take part in, I do them not for my will to receive. I rise above it. This is considered that I elevate myself from Malchut to Bina. And later on, I even want to perform actions of bestowal. So how will I bestow? I don't have vessels of bestowal, but rather if I receive in order to bestow, then it is as bestowal. Then I begin to elevate myself to a degree which is above Bina, from Bina to Ketel, to receive in order to bestow. And in that way, we liken ourselves to the Creator in practice even. Because reception in order to bestow is like pure giving.
And how, in this communication with the Creator, do we grip Him, hold Him in front of me all the time so I don't feel myself in self-perception?
Well, it all depends on the essence of your intention. What is it that you want by that? Where do you want to be? What do you want to identify with? This actually is the correction. Besides my inner attitude to where I am, who am I dealing with, what is it that I want to do with all of the life that He gave me in the will to receive, with different cravings and desires, how do I work with them in order to relate to Him in giving, so much so that within that giving, I express my attitude, all of myself, my desire, my giving, all the way to the Creator. It is all according to my attitude. And therefore, one who looks from the outside and he doesn't know, he may think that I am receiving everything from the Creator. Let's say that people can see it, even though it's impossible to see it. But let's say that they do see it. So they will see that I'm receiving everything from the Creator. And actually, I do receive, but the essence of the action is that I'm giving everything. Because I've already passed through the tzimtzum and the barrier and the correction, so that it is not for myself. I, or myself, already built a screen and this whole fence so that I get nothing for my will to receive, and I work above it only in the direction of the Creator. How do I check that? Through the 10? I build such relationships. And therefore, we don't need anything more than the will to receive that the Creator created, and the way that we work with it, either in order to receive or in order to bestow.
Вот я пытаюсь выстроить свое отношение к Творцу, любовь, вплоть до любви, как вы говорите, да?
So, но ведь я же все равно... I'm trying to build my relation to the Creator to the point of love. But still, it's the will to receive, and it wants to push some pleasure into me. So, where do the two things meet? My love for Him and the pleasure from Him that He wants to give.
In the intentions. In the intentions, in my relation to the Creator and the Creator's relation to me, in the relations. And therefore it doesn't, the action itself does not matter here. Maybe I receive everything from the Creator. I receive from Him the whole world, the whole of reality which He created. He created everything for me. And I receive it, and I fill myself with it. But my intention by that is that I give Him contentment. You see? I live in Israel, and my mother used to live in Canada. And I would come to her sometimes, once every few years. So I would come to her hungry, on purpose, very hungry. And she knew in advance that I'm going to come to her. And so she would prepare all kinds of dishes that she used to give me when I was a child, and I was living with her at home, our house, and I would receive and receive and receive and eat before her, and I had to show her how tasty it is and how pleasant, and that's the only reason for which I came to Canada, you see? This is clear to us. I think. That is, the most important is that there are relations here, and those relations, it doesn't matter in what form it is that one receives and the other one gives, they both give. The mother wants to pass pleasure to me, and I want to pass pleasure to my mother. She's passing pleasure to me through the act of giving, and I pass pleasure to her in the act of my reception. But the action doesn't matter. The most important is the intention. What is it that we want? That's clear, I think, to everyone. It's precisely the same that what we have with the Creator. But I'm happy that I was able to pass it with an example. Now we have Moscow 1.
Да, Раф, спасибо. А вот на первом этапе.
Yes, sir. Thank you. In the first stage of the development of reception in order to receive, does a war begin there between life and death? Is there a risk of losing this war and regress? Where is the point of no return?
It says, do not trust yourself until the day of your death. Until the will to receive dies, do not believe in yourself that you can no longer fall and regress to in order to receive. That is, indeed, that danger remains until the end of correction. However, we build arvut, mutual guarantee, with the group, with the world Kli, we gain experience. And even though the most important thing we need is to build a system of relationships with the Creator so that I tie myself to Him. And I constantly try to be with my eyes shut, seemingly in the dark, and to constantly go not with my mind, but with faith, with giving, with devotion, so that nothing matters to me, whatever I have before me, so long as I want to be connected to the Creator, like a baby that latches onto the mother and then it's not afraid of anything. It sits on her hands. This is how I need to be all the time, until the end of correction. And what is the end of correction? Not in that I'm certain, confident, but rather that I reached a state where I am certain that nothing can separate me from the Creator. And this is because He shines to me in that way.
Good morning, Rav. I wanted to ask, adhesion between desires, when does it happen? Gradually or from the beginning of the point in the heart or from after the barrier?
We don't know precisely, and we must not know it in advance. The Creator made it so that we will have a better approach towards an attitude of faith towards Him, so that we are willing to go with our eyes shut, meaning not to look at my will to receive and what I have inside of it, not to make a calculation, but rather to only consider how much I, in my intention to bestow to the Creator, am capable of performing actions that go against my mind and emotion. Actions of bestowal.
Itafo.
Buongiorno, carissimo Rav. La domanda è questa. Perché il cambiamento delle nostre intenzioni vengono considerate delle azioni?
The question is this. Why is the change of our intentions regarded as a spiritual act?
זה גם כן בעולם שלנו כך.
It's the same in our world. It's truly the same in our world. Everything depends on the intention. We pay attention to the actions themselves, but actually it confuses us. And later on, we realize or we shift from the action to the intention. So that you don't look at people, at what you receive from them or what physical state you have towards them, but rather their relations to you. This is what you want to consider, measure. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called a hidden wisdom, because the intentions are hidden from us. However, we truly want to measure everything according to the intention. We cannot perform an act of bestowal like the Creator. He is the force of bestowal, and He gives. We have nothing to give. We are entirely only receivers. We are created beings, and our desire is a desire to receive. However, the question is, how do I use the will to receive? If I use it in the natural way, then I'm like the still, vegetative, and animate, or like little children. I receive, I work according to my nature, or like our whole world. All of the human beings in the world, they work according to their will to receive, which the Creator had imprinted in them. However, if I want to resemble the Creator, to rise to a higher degree than the created being, then I do it by adding to my action of reception, which is entirely an act of reception. I add to it, I want to add to it, I try to add to it an intention in order to bestow. And the intention changes entirely the action. It makes an inversion over the action itself. so that if I receive, however, in receiving, like with the mother, I receive from her, but I know that by this I pass pleasure onto her, then it's not considered an act of reception, but rather an act of bestowal. And this is how it is also between us. Sometimes we feel in the relations between us that we receive, but actually by that we give. We do a favor to the other one. This is what it's all about. It's the difference between the act and the intention. And the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is about how do we receive everything that the Creator created, because otherwise we're not giving Him contentment. However, we do it with the intention in order to bestow contentment to Him. And this is what is considered complete reception according to the act of reception. We carry out this act with our will to receive that He created, and also according to our intention in order to bestow. We carry out our action so that we use the upper light so that it will change our intentions from in order to receive to in order to bestow. This is all of our work. And therefore we now need to reach a state where we will only work according to the intention. As much as our intention is in order to bestow, to that extent, I'm permitted to do whatever I can within the framework of this intention in order to bestow. Everything. The act itself is not considered, but only according to the intention. This is how it is. If, God forbid, a person is sick, he goes to a doctor and he pays him a lot of money, and the doctor puts him on the surgeon's table and he opens up his body, cuts him open and performs an act of healing. But if we look at what the doctor does, then he's truly causing harm. That is, it's not according to the operation, the way it seems to us, that we need to weigh what was done, but according to the intention, according to the goal. And this is how we should start to look at our lives. This is truly a healthy, mature way to look at.
Rav,
should the right intention to the Creator be before the act, during the act, and after the act?
The correct intention for the Creator should be always, from this moment when you heard about it and onward for eternity. Because only according to the right intention that you want to bestow to the Creator, you enter a mutual action with Him where He bestows to you, and accordingly you discover Him, you give Him, He gives you, and you begin to be close to each other.
Ma in questo cambiamento di intenzione, quanto conta la propria volontà?
In changing the intention, to what extent does our desire play a part?
Our desire is at the foundation of creation. The Creator created a desire. Therefore, I use that desire. So how can I work with it? More, less, in what form? All of our work is work with the desire, in favor of the desire, against the desire. If I begin to use my will to receive as a means, so that I don't want to look at it so that it's mine, but rather this is just a tool that I have that assists me so that I can bestow to the Creator, then we consider it that I make a restriction over it. I don't want to use it just to fill myself up, and I make a screen and reflected light so that everything that I have in my will to receive becomes a means by which to bestow to the Creator. And so it turns out that that way I reach identification, equivalence of form with the Creator. I become like Him. He wants to give me to bestow to me, and I want to bestow to Him. And in that way, we become similar to each other. We connect with each other more and more.
Tel Aviv 1.
Good morning, Rav. The intention in order to bestow, is this theoretical right now, or should it become practical for us? And we need to constantly work in that way, also in the 10, or maybe only in the 10.
Within the 10, with the intention to bestow. Otherwise, I'm not carrying out any act within the 10, but only with the intention to thereby cause closeness.
So the power to bestow and the quality of bestow.
All those things need to be clarified in a person who is trying to work in order to connect, in order to bestow. You can't explain it, because if we don't feel them, my whole explanation will be just words. You need to work and through experience understand what it is. In general, the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah is learned only according to experience, is directed only according to experience, only to connection between us, and from connection between us to connection with the Creator. Through those two actions, we clarify all the
text is something that I need to control personally and not through the 10.
It's true that normally in the beginning of the study we think that we are facing the Creator and not the group facing the Creator. So we need to describe to ourselves, imagine more and more, that I cannot face the Creator unless I am in the group. And the more I annul before the group, the more I am facing the Creator. I am in contact with Him, in some closeness to Him. And it is only on condition that I am in the group. If I am not in the group, I am not facing the Creator. I'm not. I don't count. I'm nothing. Therefore, first of all, we have to connect with the group. Because through my annulment before the group, I make myself, I bring myself to a state where I can be in annulment before the Creator. Where do I check that I annul myself before the Creator? And that from here on, I can also be a giver. How? Only on condition that I on condition that I annul myself before the 10.
Since she continues from Rats 3, so actually it's important, is it important for me to check if I'm working towards bestowal in the group, or is it enough to just believe it?
No. In the group, there's no believing. In the group, there needs to be a practical action that I see and feel and understand, and everyone also see and understand and feel it. It's not just faith, believing, thoughts, no. Everything has to be practical.
Next. From USA, there are many questions about the intentions. What is the source of a person's intentions? Where do the intentions come from? Are they something separate from the will to receive? Is a person capable of controlling and correcting his intentions?
We constantly work according to intentions, even in our world, and our world too. Except our intentions in our world, it's clear to us that they are all for our own benefit, in order to receive. And here, in spirituality, our intentions should be in order to bestow. This is why we need to first of all try to build ourselves in order to bestow upon the group, and out of this, from within this, in order to bestow upon the Creator, and then accordingly we can work.
Shela mi Hebrew. A question from Hebrew. The intention to give contentment to the Creator, that's just words. How do we turn the intention from words to a feeling in the heart? And also, how to give contentment with the intention to give contentment to the Creator if you don't feel love towards the Creator?
Yes. Yes. Next.
In item 10, it says, and he imprinted the will to receive in the system of Abiyah of Kedusha, and he removed from them the will to receive for themselves, and he placed it in the system of the worlds of Abiyah of Tum'ah. Can you please explain that? From Chile.
Yes. The Creator created these two systems, left and right, let's call it. So accordingly, we need to advance in this way toward the intention to bestow is our right line and the intention to receive is our left line. We will learn this later. Okay, I see that the questions there are so twisted that we should continue duty.
Repeat it, or maybe move on, or maybe repeat the previous item. Maybe you can read it and delve.
Item 11?
It's good if you read it, yeah.
Okay. So, item 11. The worlds cascaded onto the reality of this corporeal world. The worlds cascaded from the world of Ein Sof to this world, this corporeal world, meaning a place where there is a body and a soul, and a time of corruption and a time of correction. For the body, which is the will to receive for oneself, extends from its root in the thought of creation through the system of the worlds of Tum'ah. As it is written, man is born a wild ass is called. He remains under the authority of that system for the first 13 years, which we said is just a number, 13. There is no meaning to it. And this is the time of corruption. By engaging in mitzvot, commandments, for 13 years of age onward, meaning at some point when a person tries and tries to emerge from his will to receive, from the intention to receive, in order to bestow contentment upon his maker, he begins to purify the will to receive for himself, imprinted in him, and slowly turns it to the aim to bestow. By this, he extends a holy soul from its roots in the thought of creation. In other words, he extends this, draws this upper light, and the upper light dresses in a vessel. And his vessel is already in order to bestow. And this upper light, which is called nefesh of Kedusha passes through the system of the worlds of Kedusha and dresses in the body and will to receive of a person who is below all the worlds. This is the time of correction. So he accumulates degrees of holiness from the thought of creation in Ein Sof, infinity. Until they aid him in turning the will to receive for himself in him to be entirely in the form of reception in order to bestow contentment upon his maker. In other words, the upper light shines on him, he performs all kinds of actions to purify his will to receive, so it works in order to bestow, and by this he receives this light in order to bestow in practice, and thereby pleases the Creator, and not at all for his own benefit. By this one acquires equivalence of form with his Maker, meaning bestows upon the Creator as the Creator bestows upon him. For reception in order to bestow is regarded as pure bestowal. In other words, it doesn't matter how much he receives, as long as the intention is in order to bestow. It is written in Masechet Kiddushin that with an important man, when an important man marries a woman, by law he should give her something in order to buy her. Just like we give a ring to the woman that we want to marry. And then what happens? If she receives, then she agrees to marry him. So, if he's an important man, he doesn't need to give her anything. On the contrary, if she gives to him the ring, this is regarded as him agreeing, and he accepts the ring. It is regarded as agreeing to marry her because it is important. So here it is reversed. The buying of the woman is reversed. With an important man, if she gives and he says that he agrees, by this she becomes sanctified because when his reception is in order to delight the one who gives him, it is deemed absolute bestowal and giving. In other words, here we see that it doesn't matter that the act does not matter. The act does not matter at all. What matters is the intention. If instead of a man giving to a woman a ring, the woman gives the ring to the man, the essence remains the same essence. That by this, he who receives gives her pleasure as if he is giving to her and not that she gives. In other words, the act itself is not measured according to the corporeal, physical action with the hands or something, but according to the essence of the act, that she wants to delight him if he agrees to receive from her, it is as though he is giving to her. In other words, it doesn't matter if they give or receive. What matters is the intention. The intention. That's it. So, here, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we are mainly learning the intentions. Thus, if a person does this, one buys complete adhesion with him, and he comes to equivalence of form, and he is regarded as giving to her. And then one buys complete dvikut adhesion with him. For a spiritual dvikut adhesion is but equivalence of form. As our sages said, how is it possible to adhere unto him rather adhere on to his qualities. Meaning, he gives and you give. And by this, you become, well, depending on the level of the will to receive that you do it on, you will be on the same level as the Creator. By this, one becomes worthy of receiving all the delight, pleasure, and pleasant gentleness in the thought of creation. Okay? Okay. Балтия 4.
Спрашивает товарищ, намерение ради отдачи — это полное...
The friend asks, the intention in order to bestow, is that complete agreement with whatever the Creator brings me?
Of course. This is why it's called the restriction. With my restriction, I stop criticizing what I'm receiving from the Creator altogether. And I receive only good. I want to interpret it as only good things and how I give back to the Creator abundance from me. But in order to be in this, I already need to, first of all, begin to receive the correction called Light of Mercy, where I am above my will to receive. It is in me. It doesn't run away. You can't get rid of it. But I am in a state where I don't want to receive anything in it. But whatever happens in me comes from the Creator, and this is why it's good. What, Dudi?
Not so clear, this restriction. Whatever happens to me, it all comes from the Creator. That's it? Like that?
This is only the beginning, but that's the restriction. Restriction means I receive strength from above. Of course, I don't have such powers. So that whatever I receive in my world, in my entire life, I receive it from the Creator. Because there is none else besides Him. And besides this, what I receive is good and doing good. And those two conditions, I feel them every single moment in my life. And the more I advance toward the Creator, then on top of greater desires to receive, on top of all the bigger and bigger problems that I ostensibly see, I will have to determine, establish myself in a way that I'm actually receiving good and not problems. Because in my will to receive, I will get more happiness, difficulties. And in my desire to bestow, I will see more light. So, bit by bit, it'll fall apart. Not simple. And because we have to explain it to all of humanity, because all of humanity is getting into it gradually, so therefore we have to experience it on ourselves and be aware and feel and explain it to everyone. Bit by bit. It is not... It is a very complicated transformation that we have to experience, and not intellectually, but rather emotionally.
Questions from the women? A question from Latin. If the Creator gives us something that we don't love, how can we receive it in order to bestow to the Creator?
What we like is a klipa, a show. What we don't like is probably kedusha, holiness. So we should, at least according to this, sort between what is good and what is bad for spirituality, for a spiritual advancement. That's it. Who wants to love the friends? No one. Who wants to be connected to, connected among us and to the Creator? No one. We're willing to be close and connected to the Creator on condition that we get something from him, right? Because it's certain, it's good, but just like that, to bestow, of course not. So, what happens to us is that we don't want anything spiritual. This is why we should position ourselves correctly, that everything before us, all that there is before us, is to correct our relation to spirituality and come to a state where I have no choice but to go and correct my nature in order to adapt myself to the Creator. And the whole world is built so as to help me with this, help me correct myself, change myself, invert myself, just like we turn a piece of garment inside out. We will all have to turn ourselves inside out similarly, and then we will be similar to...
Question from Ruth 3. How can I give contentment to the Creator in moments where I clearly am aware that I'm being awakened from above 100% and I have no freedom?
My freedom is to agree with the treatment I'm getting from above, just like a baby. Does anyone ask the baby how it should be treated? No. You take it, you turn it around, you take off its clothes, you wash it, you feed it. No one asks it beforehand what it needs. Can a baby say something? No. So, and this is how we tend to it. And the same goes for us with respect to the Creator, except we have to put a restriction on ourselves, on our feelings, on our intellect, and agree to all the treatments that we are being given. And then to the extent that we can restrict ourselves and not interfere with the Creator's tending to us, we will feel how He is tending to us and why He does it. And by this, we will become Kabbalists, meaning receiving, accepting His treatment and understand it, and we grow wiser. We become the Creator's partners.
The second restriction had already been established, etc. So meaning it's not because this Paltzuf is under the restriction of the second, under the restriction of the second restriction, the limitation of the second restriction. But it's under the second restriction in order to pass lights to all the Paltzufim of Atzilut. That's why it's called Atik. Atik is from the word Ne'etak, displaced. It's still displaced from the second restriction, even though it has the form of the first restriction and the form of the second restriction. That's why it's the one who passes on. It projects all the lights that come from above, the world of Adam Kadmon, all the Gilgal, the Absag, Mabon, they all come, all these lights, to Paltzuf Atik. Atik receives them in his part called the first restriction, passing on to his part called the second restriction, and from it, it performs already bestowal to all the Paltzufim of Atzilut that are already in the second restriction. Meaning Atik is the one who broadcasts. He's
a Paltzuf that passes on the light. So what's the difference in the way it brings the light onward if it belongs to the first or second restriction?
It's relevant to what it's passing on. How much it passes, what kind of light it has to receive, what kind of light it has to process inside. to what vessels does he pass this light to on? What is above it? What is below it? And what connection it should give between these potofim? The goal of each and every potuf is to pass as much as it can all the bestowal from above downwards, so that by that he will awaken and give the forces to the lower one to adapt itself as much as possible to the upper one. By that he gives contentment to the Creator.
Except for the difference in the types of light, is there a difference in the way it passes it on between the first and second restriction?
Yes, yes, we'll learn that. There are many things there. We have to learn that more than the practical form. Do that and you'll see.
Okay.
Guys, there are many more things that I'm holding myself. Because, first of all, don't confuse the students. Anyhow, they're confused enough. So, bit by bit, the main thing is to sit on it without it disturbing us how much we understand and how much we don't. But rather how much we, so that we'll know how to develop our hearts. Our hearts. That's the main thing. As much as it comes closer to bestowal, to connection, that eventually will determine when we will start feeling what we're learning. In practice, in the heart.
Savlanut,
patience, and keeping on. About that now.
Just before you read this portion, you said we have to arrange our heart towards the study in the correct way. Perhaps we're not arranging our heart in the correct way. It felt to me like you were speaking.
We'd like our study to correct our hearts, yes. That within our study, there is light. That's called the light that reforms. We want it to correct us. That all our heart, which is our desires, it will receive the intention in order to bestow instead of the intention in order to receive. And to the extent that our desires will get a desire, an intention in order to bestow, we'll feel the upper world, the Creator, eternity, wholeness of creation, and also will belong to that. Otherwise we'll stay in the black point.
We don't correct ourselves, we submit ourselves to the light that reforms, or a request.
As much as we learn and we want to resemble the nature of the upper potofim, that's considered that we're correcting ourselves.
Because you started from the big.
The world of Atzilut is a world in itself, and that's the main world. The main olam, the main world, by which all the corrections are made. What comes before the world of Atzilut, we barely learn about that. We learn that as a transition of the light of Ensof, how it bestows upon the light of the world of Atzilut. From the world of Atzilut, we learn how they bestow upon the souls which are in the world of Bria and the Yetzira and the Sia. That's it. And these worlds, we also learn a little bit about them, because from them the souls come up to the world of Atzilut where they get the correction. Meaning our whole work is in the world of Atzilut. From above it receives the light of Ein Sof, and from below it receives the neshamot, the souls, and in them it corrects the souls by the light of Ein Sof. That's what happens to us.
What's the difference between the birth of Patsufim in Adam Kadmon and the birth of Patsufim in Atzilut?
There's a big difference. Because in the world of Adam Kadmon, these Patsufim are born whole, not partial. They're only born from the smallest and more and more and more big, large, seemingly. And they're also born not in katlut, katnut and gadlut. And it's born whole already. As if in our world, a whole person would be born. That's it. That has nothing lacking. And only in the way that it can bestow to others, it grows. Because it lacks nothing for itself. Only to bestow to others. These are the Patsufim that are in the world of Adam Kadmon. In the world of Atzilut, it's not this way anymore. There, the Patsufim are born to bestow to others as well, but their bestowal depends on their correction. And their correction depends on how much they connect to themselves. The Patsufim that are in Bia. Bria Yetzir Asiya. That's it. And in the Olamot of Bia, there are great scrutinies and very special ones. But the main thing for us now is only to know what is the role, the function of the world of Atzilut. What is the world of Atzilut itself?
What does it mean that they connect to themselves? Like the motive power for the birth of the Patsuf?
Yes. The Patsuf itself usually needs nothing for itself, but only to bestow to the Creator. In order to bestow to the Creator, it has to mingle with the corrections that are below it, the lower ones, and to accept them and to raise them to correction. That's called to give contentment to the Creator. You elevate parts to the Creator for Him to correct and to fulfill. And because the will to be, of the Creator is to bestow, this for Him is the form of pleasure, correcting and filling the broken vessels.
So can we say that the deficiency of the lower ones is the reason for those Patsufim of Atzilut to be born?
Of course. Everything is in order to bestow. And if the lower ones ask from the upper ones, give birth to us, fulfill us, correct us, by that they give contentment to the upper ones, contentment to the Creator. That's why if we ask correctly from the Creator, correct you, us, so we can bestow like you, etc. So we give Him contentment. And you can ask questions there.
Yes, I thought that it's better if we finish the lesson with faith above reason, that will be what we're taking into our day, and we'll remain with this impression of this topic as much as possible, because actually in each and everything in life, we will need to determine our attitude and faith above reason. So, please, Dudi.
Quote number 76, Rabash writes, it follows that the tzimtzum, the restriction and the concealment were made to benefit the lower one. Thus, there is no point in asking about providence. Why is the Creator treating us as it seems to us? For we do not see the good. And we suffer in exile, poverty, and so on. In other words, everyone complains about why the Creator behaves with undisclosed guidance toward us. That is only good. For this reason, it is forbidden to slander His guidance, the way He behaves with the creatures. Instead, we must believe with faith above reason that it should be precisely as we see it. And concerning what we feel, we should walk in the ways of Torah, as the sages have instructed us, how to behave with all these feelings that we feel, and to say about them, with faith above reason, they have eyes and see not.
That means that each and everything in life, we need to accept it as a correct form of behavior towards us from the Creator. That specifically only from the Creator, because none else besides Him, and the right behavior for now, for each and every one of us, because by this He is teaching us how we need to come closer to Him, to understand Him, to know Him, and be like Him. That's why there is nothing in a person's life that he can criticize in any way, except for what he himself needs to want, to ascribe himself to the Creator working upon him, the Creator taking care of him, only. That's why all of providence, all of our life, has to be accepted in us as the good that does good. It was very difficult for me to understand it too. I remember how the Rabash used to tell me how in the evening when it was cold at home, very cold, there was no heating, and he fell asleep, and his little daughter came up to him and stood beside his bed and says, "Father," and he says, "Well, what do you want?" She said, "I want to eat, and there is nothing in the house to eat." And the little daughter said, she says, so he told her, "You go to sleep, and tomorrow there'll be food." In food, there is literally nothing to eat, not a piece of bread. And then in such a way, you need to accept the Creator's providence as the good that does good. That we're already speaking about his little daughter. It's very difficult. And also that we need to, we're not even talking about us anymore. Also that we need to raise above reason. It's not simple, but why am I saying this? Because what is he saying? The restriction and concealment were made for the benefit of the lower one. Thus, there's no point in asking about providence, why the Creator is treating us as it seems to us, if we do not see the good and we suffer exile, poverty, and so on. In other words, everyone complains about why the Creator behaves with an undisclosed guidance toward us. That is only good. For this reason, it is forbidden to slander his guidance, the way he behaves with the creatures. Instead, we must believe with faith above reason that it should be precisely as we see it. And concerning what we feel, we should walk in the ways of the Torah, as the sages have instructed us, how to behave with all these feelings that we feel, and to say about them with faith above reason, they have eyes and see not. That is still very far from us to understand and behave in such a way. But still, we'll listen, and gradually it'll get into us, and we'll understand and feel it. Next, Dudi.
77. When a person begins the work of the Creator on the path of truth, he must take upon himself the burden of faith above reason. Even though all the nations of the world in his body laugh at him, he must sanctify the Creator before the Gentiles in his body and say that he believes in the Creator and wants to serve him with all his heart and soul. And even though they disagree with him, he can say that he takes upon himself the love of the Creator, takes upon himself to love the Creator, even if he has no feeling when he utters it. A person should not be impressed with the organs disagreeing with his view. He does what he can do. That is, in speech and action, he can do this by coercion. And although he feels nothing in it, he is still doing an awakening from below.
So there's a difference between our life in this world with all of our emotions and what we will need to raise to our higher degree. Then we are incorporated in the good that does good, none else besides him, and so on. For that reason, in order to prepare us for it, we need all kinds of exercises that the Creator is doing on us and the souls that are closer or further away, and that we will need to correct ourselves in order to see the good that does good through all those problems that we see. And from this, we come to an ability to understand the upper providence and to connect to it. And interpret this. Gradually, we will understand how we need to accept the providence of the Creator with all the terrible things in this world that we don't even want to remember them and we don't want to think or feel them. We will also need to justify the Creator upon all these things. That's according to the way we correct ourselves. It's not for now. Next.
Excerpt 78. When he engages in the kingdom of heaven to take upon himself faith above reason, when the body disagrees with it and gives him many excuses that now is not the time for this, and brings him evidence from other people who do not pay attention to his work of faith in the Creator above reason, he should say about this, "And his heart was proud in the ways of the Lord." He does not look at anyone, but is determined that this is the path of the truth, and he should not look at anyone or hear what the body makes him understand. Go and look at reputable people who understand what is the work of the Creator. It is about this that they said, "And his heart was proud." To be proud that he understands better than everyone.
Meaning, when do we need to work with our ego? When specifically people come and say that you can't work above reason. That's God, and His ways will be more exalted in the path of the Creator, that we raise our heart and say, no, we are walking this path, and we don't want to remain in you, that you're in your desires and in your thoughts as beasts. That's called the degree of beast, the animate degree, that whatever a person has, that's what he's in. We don't agree to remain on such a degree that we feel and see according to our eyes and heart and mind. We want every time to rise to another degree above this world, and we have no choice but to rise towards the upper force, which is the good that does good, and that it does control everything. We can decide. That's why I choose the path to rise above in the degrees of man, to rise above man of this world to a higher degree, and more exalted and more exalted, and that's how I keep going. And then I start seeing that the world isn't built according to the human mind, but according to the godly mind, according to the quality of bestowal, the force of bestowal, not the force of reception.
Moscow 6. What's the meaning of there is no command to suffer, no mitzvah to suffer?
No commandment to suffer means you have to rise to a degree where you don't suffer but enjoy. That even people that will look at you, they'll say, how could it be that he's suffering so much? But you have to bring yourself to a state where you don't suffer, that you're connected to the Creator to such an extent that all the suffering becomes, that's called that pain becomes pleasure.
Question from Hebrew. It is written, that's why you are not to say bad things about the Creator. How does that settle with the prayer? Prayer comes from a deficiency. Should we accept everything as the good that does good?
We start our prayer from giving gratitude to the Creator for creating us and giving us an opportunity to ascend to His degree. And specifically in the gap between our state and the Creator's state, we acquire all of creation and all the results and everything. And by this, we fill ourselves with the attainment of creation. If He would create us on His degree, we wouldn't feel anything. That's why we thank Him for creating us also the way He did, in a low degree. And from this low degree, we do gradually rise to His degree. Okay, yes, Zudi.
If we may, because these are excerpts are very special. On the one hand, they talk about very high states. On the other hand, I'm trying to understand what in our state, when we feel that the Creator gives us pain, that's how a person feels. What can you do? What can you hold on to?
What can I tell you? I also went through something in my life, you know? How to take these states that all in all, the Creator's attitude is clothed in His mercy. And we need to discover this clothing of mercy and not the state that the will to receive goes through. Our naked will to receive. That's what's happening if we look at the states through the will to receive, so obviously a life, it's better not to be born. If we look at our life from the opportunity to reach the degree of the Creator, the degree of bestowal, so what can be a greater gift than being born in such a low state and from it reaching such an exalted state? That's why on that it's written, he who shuts his mouth during an argument, meaning to keep incorporating in the arvut of the group and just keep going. Yep.
I shut my mouth, or at least I say outwards, I say there is none else besides him, the good that does good. But the heart, what can I do with my heart when it feels shrinked?
Try and feel the heart as if it's already corrected, even though that's also not good. Truthfully, we need to understand that every suffering is also a correction. Not that there's a commandment to suffer, but when you go through the sufferings from lack of choice, to understand that now the correction takes place by the suffering.
And while suffering?
Think of corrections. That's how the Rabash would say. He'd point to himself and say, let it suffer. That way. It's very hard. Also, Bala Sulam used to say about many things, used to speak in such a harsh way that he said that man before death, that is dying, he feels pain and that his whole life is just, he's leaving them in pain in such a force that is taking all his life away. And he says, but it's not worth giving up on it. Meaning, if it was possible, still, you shouldn't give up on it. There are a lot of things that we correct by pain. Even though we don't sanctify it, we sanctify rising above suffering in faith above reason to attain the Creator as the good that does good. But without the suffering, we cannot deal with our ego. These are things that we have to locate on our own. Everyone who loves the Creator will prove him.
Moscow 1.
Да, Раф, спасибо. Сильно не ругайте меня за вас.
Yes, Raf, thank you.
Посмотреть на всю жизнь, как бы.
Don't be mad at me at my question.
Сначала жизни, потом смерть.
If we look at all the life of one person, does life start before death or after, or does it all change all the time?
That's correct what you said. In the end, our whole life is this one flow that you can't really divide it or slice it into pieces. We still have to connect ourselves in the Arvut of all the souls to one soul. And then we will look at these things in a completely different way, and everything's for the best. Everything for the best. Moscow 7.
Раф, а что мы должны думать об исправлении во время страданий?
What should we think about the correction while we suffer? What is the right way to think? How should we think about it?
That even though I can't justify the suffering, I'd still be happier if they disappeared on one hand. On the other, I annul myself towards the Creator and ask and pray for only one thing, that in every opportunity I'll be able to thank Him and see Him as the good that does good. It's not simple. But if the group is beside you and you can incorporate in them, so you can say it and feel it. And in the group, it's completely different. Try and see it.